Father. But I want to just remind you, what about the child of God? What did you think? You thought it was good? Oh, you know what?
Some believer that we are now in the 6,000th year, and that in the 6,000th year, Jesus will return. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 24, we don't know the day or the hour, and obviously we don't know the year either, but it seems very true, and many people believe that Jesus is going to be coming very soon to judge the world. Now the question is, are you ready for Jesus to come back? In other words, are you a Christian? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Now the Bible teaches us that many are going to be lost, and only a few are going to be saved. Now, you might believe that because you believe that God is a God of love, that you believe in God, that He's going to save everybody. Well, unfortunately, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the great majority of the people are going to be lost, and the minority will be saved. Now, just how many are going to be saved and how many are going to be lost, we don't know. It's going to be somewhere in the millions of people that are going to be saved and the many more millions of people that are going to be lost. But the Bible says it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, and Noah built an ark in where only 8 people were saved, and that would be Noah and his wife and Noah's 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their 3 wives. And it's also going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rained destruction down upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and only 6 people were saved. Actually, only 5 people were saved. It would have been Lot and his wife, and then his 2 daughters, and that would have been it. We see the 2 angels that God had sent taking Lot and his wife by the hand, and the 2 daughters by the hand, and leading them out of Sodom and to safety, because God had said He was going to rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. But even Lot's wife was not saved, because though she was saved initially, she looked back, and then she became a pillar of salt, so she wasn't saved. So the only ones that were really saved were Lot and his two daughters. So it'll be 1, 2, 3 people saved. Now God knows exactly how many people are going to be saved when Jesus returns to judge the world, and they're going to be separated like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and there'll be those that are lost and those that are saved. Now, God knows right now whether you are saved or lost, and there are many people who have died who are saved, and they have gone to be with Christ. Now, you can have a good idea of those who have died and gone to be with Christ, because we can look at the lives of those that we knew. Like, for example, I can see my grandmother Holmes, a godly woman, and I'm quite sure she's with the Lord Jesus, and also my wife Donna, a very godly woman, and I believe she's with the Lord. And there's got to be millions of people with the Lord right now, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the prophets, the people of Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith. And Paul talks about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he talks about those people that have died and gone to be with the Lord, and we who are still alive, when Jesus comes back, we'll be caught up together to be with the Lord, so shall we be ever with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17. Now, if you're alive today and listening to my voice, you might be saved. Hopefully you are, or you might be lost. I don't know. God knows whether you're saved or lost. And if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and have obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's how you know that you are saved, because you recognize that the Holy Spirit guides you and directs you in the decisions that you have to make and as you walk with Christ today. So God knows whether you're saved or not. And I guess this message is for both the saved and the lost, because there is a teaching that is going around today and has been going around since 1834, that God is going to come back and take his church out of the world before the great tribulation spoken of in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. And that's a false teaching in my judgment, but it's being taught by very many popular teachers such as David Jeremiah, Charles Stanley, Robert Jeffries, and virtually all of your Baptist preachers today. They're preaching that God is going to come back and take the faithful believers who are already saved out of the world before the tribulation. I believe this is a false teaching. Now, these men that I've just mentioned, David Jeremiah, Robert Jeffries, Charles Stanley, they've had wonderful ministries, and they've done an awful lot of good, and they've brought a lot of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that's great, and I honor them because of their sincerity. But I think they are sincerely wrong when it comes to their teaching about the last things, eschatology. And unfortunately, they've written books about it. They've preached it. They preached it continually. They preach that Jesus is going to come back and take all of the believers out of the world before the tribulation. I think this is exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught in Matthew 24. Now, we have to remember that Satan is the great deceiver. He is a master of deception. And he is so good that he's been at this for 6,000 years up until the present day. And he deceives Christians. And he really deceives preachers of the word. And the preachers that are preaching this, what I believe, false doctrine of rapture before tribulation, he has deceived in this what we call eschatology, or the study of the last things. He is a master at deceptions. He pretends to be God. He sounds just like God. He presents himself as a servant of God. And he goes before God. And he does these things today, and the Bible says, we should not be deceived, for there are many false spirits that are gone out into the world. That's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. And we are to try these spirits to see that if they are of God. Now, Satan is the roaring lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. He devours non-Christians, and he will devour Christians if Christians will give him a chance. If Christians go into sin and stop believing, Satan goes right after them. He's the one that has caused them to go into sin. And he deceives us. And people who are Christians for 6,000 years have thought God has been speaking to them, when it has not been God. It has been Satan himself pretending to be God. And we need to understand this. Now, why I believe this pre-tribulation rapture is a false teaching is because what I read in the scriptures. Now, let me share some scriptures with you. I've already quoted 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17, where the Apostle Paul says, "We shall not precede those that are died, who have died, but we will together with them be caught up with the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord." Now, along with that, here's another scripture that I'd like you to consider. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the last day at the last trump when Jesus returns. Sorry, I said 1 Corinthians 16. I meant 1 Corinthians 15. If you'll turn to that scripture, let's look at it. 15:51, 1 Corinthians 15:51. The Apostle Paul writes, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that means die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Let's just look again at verses 51 and 52. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," that means die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, I heard a sermon by Paul Esposito a week or so ago. Paul Esposito is the station master of this radio station that you're listening to right now, 1510 AM and 100.7 FM. And he preached a sermon on the rapture. And he pointed out some things that I hadn't thought of before from the book of the Gospel of John. And by the way, Paul Esposito also believes that this pre-tribulation rapture is a false teaching of Satan. Paul is a minister of the island church in Merritt Island. I think they have their service this morning about 9:30 and 10:30, 9:30 Sunday school, 10:30 worship. If you're in Merritt Island, go to Paul Esposito's church. He's a good preacher, and I think it will be good for you to listen to Paul. In his sermon on the rapture, Paul directed me to the scriptures in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, when Jesus speaks about those that he's going to raise to life. In the 6th chapter of John, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And then after that, we read about Jesus walking on the water. And then after that, in the 6th chapter, we read about Jesus saying that he is the bread of life. And then as we go down in the 6th chapter of John, then Jesus said unto them, this is the 32nd verse, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread of heaven. That's where he talks about Jesus being the bread of life. He says, I am that bread. And then going down to the 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now there are four places in John 6 that Jesus says that he's going to raise up the believer at the last day. Now remember, the Apostle Paul said that at the last day we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trumpet. Now here in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus says in verses 39 and 40, verse 45 and verse 54, that Jesus said that he's going to raise up the believer at the last day. So the question comes, when is this last day? Is it when Jesus returns to take his church out of the world, falsely taught? Or is it when he returns to judge the world at the very last day? Okay, let's read those four verses again. Verse 39 of John 6. And this is the Father's will. This is Jesus speaking, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And the 40th verse, and this is the will of him that sent me, that and believeth on him may have everlasting life, that I will raise him up at the last day. Now let's look at the 44th verse, where it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the 54th verse, where Jesus says, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now the question is, when is that last day? Well, that's when Jesus comes to judge you and me and everyone who's ever lived and died, and he's going to judge the world. As the Bible says in Acts 17, verse 30, that God is going to judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained and has given proof to all men, having raised him from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. Now, we ask the question, why is this false teaching of pre-tribulation rapture when God takes his church out of the world so popular? Well, I believe it's popular because Christians are lazy. And they don't want to keep working for Christ now. They want to go to be with Jesus now. They don't have to go work anymore while they're in the world. And they don't want to suffer any tribulation. And here this false teaching says, well, if you get taken out of the world now, then you won't have to go through any tribulation. And it is a false teaching being preached and taught by many good preachers. They're teaching a false doctrine, and people are believing it because they believe that everything that these preachers say must be true. Well, I'm sorry, but it's not true. Now, here are a few reasons why I believe that this false teaching is not true. Let's look at Matthew 24. I'm reading from Matthew 24, King James, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Then Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes to diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, I want to stop the reading of the text here for a minute because of this verse. The 14th verse says that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And I just realized that the gospel is going to be preached right up to the very end of the world when Jesus makes his entrance at the last day when the rapture will occur after the tribulation. And, you know, I've preached in Africa, I've preached in Haiti, I've preached in South America, I've preached in Jose, I've preached in Minneapolis, Indiana, Illinois, Florida. Man, I've preached a lot of places, and still I'm preaching today. Here the Bible says this gospel is going to be preached right up to the very end. That's the reason why the church cannot be taken out of the world before the tribulation, because the church has got to be here to preach the gospel to the very last day when we shall be changed and we shall be caught up to be with the Lord, when we shall be with Christ. Now, right at this very moment, this gospel is being preached all over the world by preachers of the gospel. And you don't have to be a missionary to do this. Preachers are everyone who's witnessing for Christ. And I love to see the TV and witness where I see people being baptized, being immersed into Christ. And I see these different ministries all over the world where native preachers and baptizing people into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to go to where the blood of Christ was shed to get the blood of Christ. And the Bible says that we were baptized into his death. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and following. That's how you get the blood of Christ applied to you, by obedience to Christ. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey Christ. That's in Acts 5:32. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to as many as are far off, as many as the Lord shall, our God shall call." Even here in Palm Bay, Florida, in Melbourne, Florida, in Orlando, Florida, all over the world, this gospel is being preached today by preachers, and people are accepting Christ. And this, we started out this message saying, maybe you're not a Christian. Well, you can become a Christian today. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord. You can be baptized today. You can come to our church this morning. We'll baptize you this very day. Don't say you don't have any opportunity. That's a big lie of Satan that puts in your mind that, oh, well, you can't do it today. Put it off till later. No, you, today is the day of salvation for you. And you can be saved today if you want to be saved. You can repent of your sins, saying, I'm not going to live the life that I lived anymore. I'm going to change and I'm going to live for Christ. And you can accept him now, this very day. You can be baptized this very day. Wherever you are, you can find someone that will baptize you, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be glad to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins and so that you can receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do I know today you can be saved? Because that's what the Bible says. Take your Bible, open it up, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You see, you can be saved today. Now can be the day that your sins are washed away. You can be forgiven. You can be made new in Christ. You can accept Christ as your Savior. Submit to him your whole body, soul, spirit. Submit your body completely in baptism, submerged in water. You're submitting your whole body to Christ. Say, here I am, all of me. I ain't much, God, but I give all of me to you just as I am. You can be a Christian today. You can be saved this very day. Come, give your life to Jesus Christ. I'll baptize you if you come this morning. My minister, David, if his chair will baptize you, just ask anybody in the church. We'll all be glad to baptize you into Christ. You can start today. Is a day of salvation for you. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Now is a day of salvation for you. Now here's the gospel. If you haven't heard it, Jesus died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, believeth in him should not perish, should not go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's you. You can have that promise today. When you accept Christ and baptize into him, God gives you the promise of eternal life. He washes away all your sins and he gives you the Holy Spirit. Now is the day of salvation. Come and accept him as your Lord and Savior this day. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can you feel him right now? There's a praise. Whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. You gotta tell them for yourself. Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Woo! Don't do it without me. Come on, help me say it. You gotta tell them for yourself.
Don't do it without me.
Come on, say it like you mean it. If you need a healing, just say,
Lord, if you're healing in this season, please don't do it without me.
No, 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 no.
Don't do it without me.
I don't care what the sickness is. Lord, if you're healing. Let me hear you say,
don't do it without me.
Please, Jesus,
don't do it without me.
I know you got a lot of people to take care of.
Don't
I need
it
you. I need
me.
You. I want you to say it about the music.
Don't
included. I want to be in the number, Jesus. Please, please don't. Please don't. Please don't do it without me.
No,
no, no, no.
on, come on. We got 33 seconds. Somebody ought to be praising him up in here. We got 30 more seconds. We got 20. Come on.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
There's nobody like Jesus. There's nothing like his plan for my life. There's nothing like the words that he's spoken over me.
Oh. There's nobody like Jesus.
There's nothing like the love that he shows. Nothing like his grace and his mercy. I am so grateful. Nobody like Jesus.
Yeah. There's nobody like Jesus.
Jesus, no, no, there's nobody quite like Jesus, nobody that can save me like he can, that can heal my body, raise me from the dead.
Frown into a smile and give me hope again. Hope again.
There's nobody like Jesus.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's nothing like his plan for my life.
Nothing like his plan for my life.
There's nothing like the words that he spoke.
Nothing like the words that he spoke over me.
There's nobody like Jesus.
Shirley, I searched all over the world. I can't find anybody
like
Jesus. I can't
find nobody.
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 No. No, 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 no.
There's nobody like Jesus.
And nobody can save me like
Jesus. Nobody like Jesus.
Nobody can raise me like
Jesus.
I wouldn't serve a God
like Jesus.
Nobody like.
just thinking about who God is and that he's forever faithful, that means he cannot lie. That means that whatever he says is going to come to pass. So whatever promise God has made to you, we want to encourage you that he's going to do it just like he said he would.
strength, only God knows how. In the shadows of death, chose faith over doubt. When they handed you out, you ain't throwing a towel. You a survivor, that's what I'm talking about. True inspiration, how you rose to the occasion. Never thought you would ever be in this situation. Seeing the worst of the worst, as bad as it gets. What does it kill you, make you stronger at times like this? So many questions.